Thank you for joining me at the beginning of a brand new week together here on God Is. I'm excited to tell you that next week we will have a new station where God Is will be heard in the afternoon. It's 1640 a.m. KDIA in San Francisco. 5:15 p.m. is the start time over there. So by the grace of our loving Lord, God Is will be heard on both coasts, New England and in Northern California. Please join with me in giving thanks to God for opening this opportunity for the good news to be proclaimed with clarity out of San Francisco. If you have friends or family out there, let them know that starting next week, they can join us as we continue to discover who God is. And I'll say more about this soon. I want you to know about this so you can pray with me for the people of California. Let's boldly ask the Holy Spirit to convict new listeners of their sin and draw them into a radical relationship with Jesus, our Lord, as well as to strengthen and encourage Christians who will join us starting next week on KDIA in San Francisco. Thank you also for praying for this ministry and for me. I need your prayers. Today we return to the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are still in the introduction to this chapter and really the entire book. That is verses 1 through 3. We're here because we answer the question, what does God look like? With, God looks like Jesus. And when we ask what Jesus looks like, we find our answer right here in the revelation. We've already covered verses 1 through 2, except for the phrase, the things which must soon take place in verse 2. And we'll get to that tomorrow, because those words tie in with what the Apostle John writes here in verse 3. If you have your Bible open in front of you, always a good idea, assuming you're not driving, follow along as I read Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 3 reads, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear, the words of the prophecy, and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. This is a really important sentence because it tells us God's intention in this prophecy. God says you are A, blessed if you read it, B, you are blessed if you hear it, and C, you are blessed if you heed the things that are written in it. Heed, that is a key word. And what does it mean to heed the things that are written in the Revelation? It means to do whatever is asked of us. This is a command from God to us to obey what is written herein. So, just as we are to always obey what the Lord commands throughout this, his holy and inspired word, so too we are again reminded at the end of the Bible to not only read this and to hear this, but also to do what this says to do. Just look at verse 3 when you have a chance to do so. The Holy Spirit makes this abundantly plain to us. And God, who is all wise, knows us well. He knows there is a trap that many people fall into when reading and hearing the words of this prophecy, including Christian people, and that is sensationalism. There is a tendency to sensationalize the book of the Revelation. Simply put, to sensationalize means to present in a sensational manner, and this often takes the form of presenting the text in a way that provokes interest and excitement, but at the expense of accuracy. Hollywood has certainly done this. There are many apocalyptic films that present the end of the world in ways totally inaccurate to that of the Bible. There are authors who know not God and write in a whole very popular genre known as apocalyptic fiction. They write to entertain and to sell books. I get that. But they are sensationalizing the biblical text. And importantly, they are not obeying God in the Revelation. They are not heeding these words. Now, we can expect that of men and women who are not Christians, but sadly, there are believers that do this as well. I have a friend. He will not mind if I share this with you. He's a fairly new Christian, and he is obsessed with the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. But as he admitted to me, he's interested in this because he finds war, like the battle that will take place at Armageddon in Revelation chapter 19, fascinating. Recently, he and I discussed in detail the Antichrist, the beast in Revelation chapter 13, who this will be and where he will come from. This is intriguing to him. God versus Satan, good versus evil, and God winning in the end. My friend sees the Revelation as like one big movie. But I tell you, he is less interested in what God commands in chapter 1 and verse 3. Heed the things which are written in it. Obey. Do. We can be fascinated by the revelation and study it in detail. That's good. We must. But we must also never sensationalize it, as if we are in some way detached from the commanding nature of the text for us to live by on a consistent basis in our lives, here and now, down in the nitty-gritty of where we live. For example, my friend was shocked and really hasn't recovered from it yet when I showed him in the Bible that we Christians will not even be on the earth for much of the events that take place in the Revelation after chapter 4 and verse 1. And that is because the church, so Christians, are snatched away from the earth by Jesus Christ in what is called the rapture of the church. I took him over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 as proof that all who are genuinely saved from sin by Christ, as we invest our faith in him, will be, thankfully, taken from the earth to be with the Lord as Jesus comes with the clouds to resurrect believers who are already dead and to steal away Christians alive at the time of this rapture. In fact, the word rapture means to be snatched away. Oh, he said to me, eyes bugging out of his head, you mean we will not be here for the tribulation? No, we won't, I affirmed. Well, he left shaking his head after that conversation. You see, he is living for the sensational, but he is struggling to obey what God is commanding him, found within this final book of the Bible. Friends, let's be careful to take seriously chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Let's test our own motives and be sure our excitement does not come at the expense of accuracy. And do not miss the commands given to us here by our Lord. I'll be sure to point these out as we progress. Now, I want to say three more things about this verse 3, but let me just insert this here. In terms of avoiding sensationalizing the revelation, you should also be very discerning on what quote-unquote Christian teaching, usually in the form of books or TV shows, DVDs, you buy. False teachers, for which there are plenty on radio, TV, and the internet, love to dramatize the revelation. They know this sells. But is what they are saying accurate? In particular, they violate one of the clear commandments of Scripture when it comes to the timing of Christ's second coming by trying to tell you when it will be. Well, they have no clue when it will be. Nobody does. And I am coming to a discussion on time tomorrow. But today, I warn those of you within the sound of my voice. Be very, very wise. You can be easily deceived, falling for what is sensationalized at the steep expense of what is true. Be careful with these teachers and preachers who focus too much on signs and wonders. I've personally seen many Christ followers deeply hurt by the false teachers in this regard. And I want to do everything I can to warn you off of them. And just quickly on this point, if you are confused about what you've been taught about the revelation, or you wonder, well, who might some of these false teachers be that he's talking about, just whip off a quick email or note to me today and ask. I'll respond. My email is mark@markaeswallow.com, and my mailing address is God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. And these will both be repeated at the end of today's broadcast and podcast. I tell you, I'm so concerned about false teaching, especially regarding the end times. As God's people, we really have to watch ourselves on this. Be careful who you listen to, and always test what I say as well. The warning that I just gave you also applies to myself. You test what I'm saying to see if it is biblical. Briefly now, with the time we have remaining, I invite you to notice two other dimensions to verse 3. The first is the word blessed. Blessed is he or she. What does it mean to be blessed? It means happy. Simply put, if you want to be a happy Christian, and which one of us does not want genuine happiness in our lives, then read, hear, and obey what is written in this book. Jesus said this back in Luke's gospel. Write this down and read it later, more than once. This is Luke chapter 11 and verse 28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Those are the words of Jesus in Luke 11, verse 28. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. In other words, obey what you hear. Second, notice this little nugget concerning the language of Revelation 1, verse 3. It moves from he who reads to those who hear. He is singular, those are plural. And what does this reflect? It reflects how Scripture was read in the early church of the first century. As commentators tell us, it was too expensive for every believer to have a printed copy of the Word of God, as they had it until that point in time. So when they came together to worship as a community of believers, one Christian stood and read the Scripture while the others listened from the one copy that they did have. Hence, he who reads to those who hear, the singular to the plural here in Revelation 1 and verse 3, reflects that. I just thought that was fascinating. It would be of interest to you. I love the details of the Bible. Please look at the text with me sometime today. Tomorrow, I will have more to say about verse 3. We'll look at this little phrase, for the time is near, and then we shall move forward in the chapter. But remember what we covered today. Blessed, happy is the person who heeds, obeys, does what God commands in this revelation. We do not want to sensationalize the text at the expense of truth. So come along with me tomorrow as we continue to learn the truth about who God is.